الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فهل عسيتم إن توليتم أن تفسدوا في الأرض وتقطعوا أرحامكم؟ صدق الله العظيم. وعن البراء بن عازب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: كنا جلوسا عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: أي عرى الإسلام أوثق؟ قالوا: الصلاة. فقال: حسنة، وما هي بها؟ قالوا: الزكاة. قال: حسنة، وما هي بها؟ قالوا: صيام رمضان. قال: حسن، وما هو به؟ قال: الجهاد. قال: حسن، وما هو به؟ فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أوثق عرى الإسلام أن تحب في الله وتبغض في الله، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, last week was the end of the first month of the Islamic calendar, the month of Muharram, in which we touched on a very, very important topic, which was in fact the focal point and turning point of the history of Islam, the basis on which our calendar was established. The question was put, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, Ayyul imani afdal? What is the height, what is the pinnacle of iman? And to this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded, Al-Hijrah. Referring first and foremost to the hijrat, which occurred in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where on the one hand, the muhajirin of Makkah gave up their livelihoods, they gave up their homes, they gave up their businesses, they severed ties with their family members that had not accepted Islam, they gave up their birthplace. Ultimate qurbani and sacrifice was given for the sake of deen. When they left Makkah Mukarramah with barely the clothes on their backs. And on the other hand, the Ansar of Medina, the manner in which they embraced the Muhajirin, the Qurbani, the sacrifice that they gave, were in reality, by accepting this call of Hijrat, and by accepting and by embracing the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the whole world had declared war on Medina Munawwara. Our history, our heritage of Islam is rich. If we have to just glance at the history of Islam, the noble sacrifice that the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, we can understand the value of this deen. We can understand from which garden we come from. This entire period, we find that the road to Hijrah was opened through the amal of Hajj. There are many, many lessons and asbaq and haqaiq that it is absolutely vital and essential that we revisit and we learn. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran with regards to Hajj, and obviously the hijrah that occurred thereafter, Allah ta'ala said, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. That in this entire exercise, there is not just one benefit, manafi'a, there are many, many benefits. One particular aspect that we want to focus on and which has in fact become very, very relevant and very important in our current situation. On the one hand, this last year that has passed has been an ajeeb and an astonishing year. No one could have imagined something like this, where the entire world was caught in a grip of a pandemic. Economic carnage occurred. Many of our brothers lost their jobs, they lost their livelihoods. Great difficulty and hardship was endured. In the light of this, many of us are looking for solutions, are looking for direction. Unfortunately, as an ummah today, this concept of the extent of worry and concern that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had, and the type of qurbani and sacrifice that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave to establish an ummah, to establish the brotherhood of Islam. Today we call ourselves Muslims. We call ourselves one ummah. But if we have to dig a little bit beneath the surface, if we have to analyze and look at ourselves as an ummah, unfortunately we have the title Muslim ummah, but there is no unity. We have broken up into factions. We have broken up into groups. And on the slightest pretext, on the slightest pretext, we are ready to get into arguments. We are ready to break ties with one another. We are ready to fight with one another. And instead of forgiving and embracing one another, we carry this baggage of hatred and nafrat. Ulama ikram say that today, as an ummah, unfortunately, when it comes to nafrat, hatred, dislike, rancor, enmity for one another, we tend to nurture this. Like how someone rears and nurtures a child, we nurture nafrat and hatred for one another. We are not prepared to let go. We are not prepared to forgive. When we look at this amal of hajj, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Al-Hajju ashhurum ma'lumat. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. When Allah Ta'ala refers to Hajj, Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Hajju ashhurum ma'lumat, that Hajj occurs during a set number of months. Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, and the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. Then Allah Ta'ala refers to the ihram of Hajj. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ. The one who has tied the ihram of Hajj, made Hajj compulsory upon himself. What is the requirement of that ihram? Three things are mentioned in the Quran. We are going to focus on one of these three things. Occasion of Jummah, unfortunately, is too limited. For those of us who have a little bit of understanding of the Arabic language, if you look at this sentence in the Quran, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ فَلَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوق وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. The second part of the sentence technically does not appear to tie up with the first part. What it should have been, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَفْسُقْ وَلَا يُجَادِلْ فِي الْحَجِّ. That Allah has commanded you that when you tie the ihram of Hajj, فَلَا يَرْفُثْ, let there be no lewd speech. Control this tongue of yours. Control it from shameless speech. Control it from ghibat, from slander, from taunting, from swearing, from hurting the feelings of others. All this falls within the purview or parameters of this prohibition. In ihram, Allah says, control your tongue, first thing. Wala fusuq, stay away from that which Allah has made haram. What we call kabira gunas, major sins. In ihram, stay away from that which Allah made haram. And the third thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to, wala jidala fil hajj, stay away from arguments, from disputes, from fighting with one another, from causing disunity, from breaking up into factions and groups. As I mentioned, technically it should have been فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَفْسُقْ وَلَا يُجَادِلْ فِي الْحَجِ. In other words, in ihram, these three things are haram and prohibited. And if you will do this whilst in the state of ihram, you will damage and destroy your hajj. But Allah does not say yarfuth, yafsuq, yujadil. Allah says la rafath, wala fusuq, wala jidala fil hajj. This technical difference, what is the sabak that we learn? Quran is bahrun la sahila lahu. Quran is a limitless ocean. Allah Ta'ala is cautioning us, not only in the ihram of hajj is this haram. Not only now in this period that you have come to Kaabatullah to perform hajj, these three things are haram. But once you have tied this ihram will only open up when you die. This ihram is till maut. Control this tongue of yours. Stay away from that which Allah made haram. And as we pertinent to what we are discussing, وَلَا جِدَال وَلَا جِدَال. Stay away from arguments. Stay away from disputes. Stay away from disunity. Stay away from harboring hatred and enmity and jealousy for one another. This ihram is not only for hajj. This ihram is right till the last breath in this world. The famous dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raised his hands. And he said, O my Allah, protect my ummah. Protect my ummah from being destroyed by a natural calamity in totality, whether it's an earthquake or a flood. Allah accepted this dua. Second dua, O my Allah, protect my ummah from being completely wiped out by a tyrannical ruler. Allah accepted this dua. What was the third dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made? O my Allah, protect my ummah from disputes, from arguments, from breaking up into groups and factions, from disunity, from fighting with one another. This dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not accepted. And it comes in the riwayat when Jibreel came and informed him that this dua will not be accepted. Tears entered the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Human beings naturally will fight, will get into disputes, will get into arguments. But this should not become a basis of us breaking relationships with one another. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I mentioned in the beginning. These type of ahadith many times we would have heard, but unfortunately many of us fail to appreciate the true veracity of the meaning of such ahadith. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the narrator is Bara bin Azib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, Kunna julusan inda nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The sahaba was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam posed a question to them. What was the question? Ayyu ural islami awthaq. Ayyu ural islami awthaq. O my sahaba, what is the strongest, most important pillar of Islam? What does this mean in layman's terms? If you don't practice on anything else, if you are unable to practice on anything else, don't ever leave this out. Islam ke mazboot tareen sutoon kaun sa hai? What is the strongest binding factor of Islam which will hold us together as an ummah? Ayyu ural islami awthaq. Sahaba said, Salah. Rasulullah SAW said, Hasanatun. Salah is very good, but I'm not referring to that. Then they said, Zakat. Nabi SAW said, Hasanatun. Zakat also is very good, but I'm not referring to that. Then someone said, Siyamu Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan. The pillars of Islam. The pillars of Islam. The road to Jannah. These are the things that the Sahaba are giving as a response. Fasting in the month of Ramadan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hasanun, very good, but not that. Then someone said, Al-Jihad. Ya Rasulullah, it is Jihad. This is the strongest pillar of Islam. This is what will bind us and hold us together as an ummah. And Allah's help is with the ummah. Look through the annals of Islamic history. I'm sitting on the minbar of the masjid by the qasam of Allah. No enemy of Islam. No superpower of the world. No force of batil has harmed us as an ummah and spilt more blood of this ummah than Muslims themselves. As an ummah today, we have become enemies of one another. As an ummah today, we have forsaken every aspect of Islam on the altar of worldly love. Running behind this dunya, the brotherhood of Islam has broken up to such an extent that today we don't even understand the value of family ties. If I'm not prepared to maintain relationships with my blood brother or with my own relatives, where am I going to maintain relationship with those who I have no family ties with? The brotherhood of Islam, ukhuwatul Islam, where Allah says, innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. When you have iman, then every person of iman is your brother. Like you protect your dignity, you are supposed to protect his dignity. Like you preserve your means, your wealth, you are supposed to preserve your brother's wealth. Hatred, dislike, disunity, jazba and desire for revenge. The brotherhood of Islam has come to destroy all this. So each time, look at the answers Sahaba are giving. Salah, zakat, fasting in the month of Ramadan, jihad. Each time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no, I'm not referring to that. Then Ya Rasulullah, what is it? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, inna awthaqa ural Islam. Inna awthaqa ural Islam. An tuhibba fillah wa tubghida fillah. The greatest binding, most important pillar of Islam. Never let this go. Hold on to this if you are not able to practice on anything else. What is it Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says? An tuhibba fillah. To love one another for the sake of Allah. To love one another for the sake of Allah. To let go of your revenge. Let go of your hatred. Let go of your dislike. Let go of your rancor. Let go of your disunity for Allah's sake. And tuhibba fillah wa tubghida fillah. To love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Islam, of Allah. And no greater example of this we will find than the direct companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this occasion of Hijrah. That is why Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahab rahmatullah alayhi in his Hayatul Sahaba, he has devoted an entire chapter to this. The ukhuwat of Islam, the brotherhood of Islam, where we love one another, not because of the color of the next person, or his financial status or standing, or because he has done us a good turn, or he's done some ihsan or favor on us, but you love one another for the sake of Allah only. On the one hand, those six sahaba who first accepted Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Medina Munawwara in the 11th year of Nubuwat, Abu al-Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, Sa'd bin Rabi', As'ad bin Zurara, Abdullah bin Rawaha, Haritha bin Nu'man, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. One of them was Sa'd bin Rabi'. One incident Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi brings under this chapter, Babul Muwakhat, the brotherhood of Islam. Like I said, the Muhajireen of Mecca, these were strangers to the brothers in Medina, to the Ansar of Medina. And they left Mecca with only the clothing on their backs. They had nothing, no home to go to, no family to go to, no friends to go to. Ultimate qurbani and sacrifice they made. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introduced the brotherhood of Islam. One incident Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentions, and each one of us take a thermometer. These are not fairy tales, these are not stories, these are realities. This is something for us to learn from. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala who comes to Medina Munawwara from Makkah as a muhajir. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses Sa'd bin Rabi'ah. He says, Abdurrahman bin Auf has made hijrat from Makkah. Sa'd, from today, I am making Abdurrahman bin Auf your brother. He is your brother. Allahu Akbar, what is the reaction of Sa'd bin Rabi'ah? Learn this, antuhibba fillah, love for the sake of Allah. If I'm worth a million rand and somebody comes and says, you know what, this is your brother, he's in a financial problem, help him out. First thing what we'll do, if we own a million rand, we'll say, you know what, I've only got about 50,000. We'll mention about 1/20th of what we're worth because now we know we have to share with this person. What does Sa'd bin Rabi'ah do? He addresses Abdurrahman bin Auf. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, you are my brother. Inni aktharu ahli al-madinati malan. He said, in the whole of Medina, you will not find anyone who is more wealthy than I am. I have more money than anybody in Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, you are my brother. Fanzur shatra mali lak. From today, I make Allah witness that half my wealth belongs to you. Half of everything I own or I am worth is yours. Why? Because you are my brother. Was he a relative? Did they drink the milk of the same woman? Were they brought up in the same house? Were they brought up as brothers? No, these were strangers. Half my wealth is yours. Watakti imratan. And I have two wives. You choose which one you prefer. I will divorce her now after it that you get married to her. Weigh this in the light of what is going on today. I didn't get invited or I didn't get consulted by my brother when a proposal came for his daughter for the rest of his life. I won't speak to him. Some financial dispute, some piece of ground, some piece of dunya. We start fighting with one another and for generations. We want to take the person to court, cut off family ties, not talk to one another. La jidal, la jidal. Allah says, don't get into arguments. Don't get into fights. Let it go. Forgive one another. Take the short end of the stick. Ajib. When it comes to fights and arguments, more often than not, where does it start? It starts in the same house. It starts in the same family. It starts amongst relatives. As an ummah, if we can't preserve family ties, how are we going to preserve the ties of the ummah? Allah Ta'ala refers to the first family of humanity. And in great detail, Allah's sunnah is explained in this incident in the 6 juz of the Quran. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. One was Habil, the other was Qabil. I'm not going into details, time is too limited. Out of jealousy, we know the history, we've heard the incident. Out of jealousy, Qabil decides to murder his brother, becomes upset with his brother, angry, stretches his hand out against his brother, لأقتلنك. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. What is the reaction of Habil? In great detail, this entire conversation is reproduced in the Quran. Why? Something that happened in the time of Adam alayhi salam is brought before the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a wake-up call. As a reminder that this is where disputes will start. This is where arguments will start. This is where rancor will start in your own family. What choice do you have? The choice you have is either you follow the sunnah of Habil or follow the sunnah of Qabil. And whichever jamaat you will align yourself with, that is the outcome that will happen. What is the reaction of Habil? He addresses his brother. لَإِن بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوءَ بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allahu Akbar. He says, my brother, if you stretch your hand out to harm me and to attack me, my brother, if you stretch your hand out to hurt me, I will not react. I will not reciprocate your hatred and your jealousy and your enmity. I will take the short end of the stick. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا جَمَعَ اللَّهُ الْخَلَائِقِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, the whole of humanity will be gathered. The angel will announce, أَيْنَ أَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ. أَيْنَ أَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ. Where are the people of virtue? Where are the people of dignity and honor? فَيَقُومُ النَّاسُ وَهُمْ يَسِيرٌ. A group of people will stand up. Ajeeb. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? They will number very few. They will number very few. فَيَنْتَلِقُ السِّرَانِ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. This group will start going quickly towards Jannah. فَتَتَلَقَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The Malaika will meet them and they will ask them, where are you going? أَيْنَ تُرِيدُونَ. Where are you going? نُرِيدُ الْجَنَّةِ. We are going to Jannah. أَقَبْلَ الْحِسَابِ. No reckoning, no hisab kitab, no questions, and you're going to Jannah. How come? So they will say, نَحْنُ أَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ. نَحْنُ أَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ. We are the people of virtue. We are the people of fadl. مَا فَضْلُكُمْ. The Malaika will ask them, what is your virtue? What is the basis of this? Allahu Akbar, what will the response be? We used to make tahajjud every night. We used to fast every day. We used to make khatam of Quran every day. No! What is your virtue? كُنَّا إِذَا ظُلِمْنَا صَبَرْنَا وَإِذَا أُسِيَ إِلَيْنَا حَمَلْنَا. When people made zulm against us, we made sabr for the sake of Allah. When our brothers did wrong towards us, we tolerated it for the sake of Allah. The Malaika will say, أَنْتُمْ أَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. Definitely you are the people of fadl. You have done well. Enter into Jannah without any reckoning. Family ties. Today we are in economic strife. We are worried about our financial future. My respected brothers, if you look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one is our way psychologically or logically of addressing our problems and difficulties. The other is nabawi nuskha. The other is the prescription given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You want barakat, you want blessings, you want your du'as to be accepted. A great sage and alim of Islam, Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, mentions the riwayat. He says it was Ashiyat Arafah. Arafah, the night of Arafah. The person that is making du'a is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those who are saying ameen to his du'a, sahaba. Before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes this du'a, he addresses his companions. And he says, لِيَقُمْ عَنَّا قَاطِيُ رَحِمْ. If there is anyone in this gathering that has severed or broken family ties, please leave. One youngster gets up, he goes away. After a short while he returns, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, where did you go? He says, Ya Rasulullah, there was one aunt of mine who I had broken family ties with. When I heard this announcement of yours, I went quickly and I made maafi with her. And I patched up with her. And we embraced one another. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the doors to the heavens are closed if there is any gathering in which there is someone who has severed family ties. Great, great sahaba like Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever they would gather to make dua or to make the zikr of Allah, they would make this announcement to that gathering. If there is anyone that has severed or broken family ties, please leave this gathering. Why? لِأَنَّ أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ تُرْتَجْ دُونَ قَاطِعِ رَحِمْ. Because the doors to Allah's acceptance of your du'as are locked if you have broken family ties. It's mentioned one latifa, one incident of the Bani Israel, that there was one person, there were four brothers, the father became very sick. When the father became very sick, one of the brothers told the other three that, listen, I've got one of two propositions. What's your proposition? First proposition, he said, listen, you three brothers make khidmat of our elderly sick father. You three brothers make khidmat and wipe off, write down that you are prepared to not receive any inheritance. I will take everything. They said, have you lost your marbles? He said, okay, I got another proposition. What's the proposition? I will make khidmat of our father. I will wipe off my right to inheritance, you three take everything. But you leave me alone to make khidmat of our sickly father. They said, no problem, this is accepted. He makes khidmat of his father, spends whatever wealth he has. So everything is gone when the father passes away. He had given up his inheritance, so he has no right in the inheritance also. When the father passes away, one night he sees a dream. The family is in faqa, in poverty. We run out of time, I'm cutting the incident short. In his dream, he hears a voice saying that in certain place under a tree is 100 dinars. So he's asking the voice, is it this 100 dinars has barakat or no barakat? So the response comes, no barakat. He says, I don't want to know. Next day he tells his wife. His wife says, we've got no food in the house. What are you worried about barakat? You should have taken the 100 dinars. Next night he sees another dream. 10 dinars, certain place. Same question, barakat or no barakat? The response comes, no barakat. He says, I don't want to know about it. Third night, now 3 days of hunger. Third night he sees a dream. Under a certain tree is 1 dinar. Barakat or no barakat? The response comes, yes, there's barakat. Next day he goes, he digs under the tree, finds the 1 dinar, goes into the marketplace, buys 2 fish with 0.5 dinar and some other necessities for the house with the other 0.5 dinar. When he comes home, opens up the 2 fish, inside are 2 pearls. He takes the 1 pearl, goes to the jewelers, they say, this is too valuable, we can't afford it, only the king can afford this. So he goes to the king calls his valuators. And the king makes an offer to him for this 1 pearl, 18 mules loaded in gold for the service of his father. He sells the 1 pearl. Few days pass. The valuators tell the king that this type of pearl comes in a pair. If you get the second one, this will be the zenith of your entire treasury. So he sends for this person. Do you have the second pearl? He says, yes. How much will you take for it? He says, last time you put the price, now I'm putting the price. 60 mules loaded in gold for the second pearl. King accepted. 78 mules loaded in gold for what? In exchange for the service of his father. For the preservation of family ties. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, before I go into that hadith, to complete the incident of Habil and Qabil, my brother, if you raise the hand to harm me, I will not react. What does Qabil do? He murders his brother. He murders his brother. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Bukhari and Muslim Sharif hadith, every murder that will be committed till Qiyamah, the share of that sin will be on the head of Qabil. Accursed forever. His name destroyed forever. On the one hand, Habil made sabr. Habil became the oppressed one. Habil took the short end of the stick and preserved family ties. Allah elevated him. Allah honored him. Which jamaat do we want to be raised in? In fact, Ibn Kathir rahimullah in his tafsir mentions, Habil, when he gave qurbani, he gave an animal. This animal was lifted up to Jannah. It was reared in Jannah. And when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam placed the knife on the neck of his son Ismail alayhi salam, the animal from Jannah that was sent in place of Ismail alayhi salam was the same animal that belonged to Habil. Allah elevated and honored him when he chose to become the oppressed one in preserving family ties. La jidal, walk away from arguments. Take the short end of the stick. I will terminate. Nabawi nuskha, prescription of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What did my Nabi say? He said, Man ahabba, an yumadda lahu fi umrihi. وَيُوَسَّعْ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ وَتُدْفَعْ عَنْهُ مِيتَةَ السُّوءِ. 3 things. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am your guarantor. Demand it from me. Your Nabi is saying, I guarantee you 3 things. What 3 things? He said, any one of you who wants barakat in his life, who wants barakat in his risk, in his sustenance, who wants to be saved from a bad death. How many old people you meet today? Molana, dua karo. Allah hame buri maut se bacha de. Allah save us from a bad death. Allah save us from a bad death. Allah give us husn-e khatima. Nabawi nuskha. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your guarantor. Allah will give you barakat in your life. Barakat in your risk. and Allah will give you a beautiful mouth and death. What must you do? Two things Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَسِلْ رَحِيمَهِ He said, fear Allah. And when it comes to dispute and arguments with your family members, give them the upper hand. Take the short end of the stick. Become the oppressed one. Let your right go. Preserve this ummah. Preserve the brotherhood of Islam. The annals of history fail to produce an example like this. Sa'd bin Rabi, to complete that incident. Abdul Rahman, they were not even really brothers. They were not really linked with family lineage. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is your brother. Half my wealth is yours. My wives also are yours. What does Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu says? Barakallah, Allah give you barakat. Show me where's the marketplace. I will not touch your wealth, my brother. But this was istighnayat of Sahaba. Hazrat Mufti Zain al-Abidin Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. On this I will terminate. How beautifully he put it. What is this quality where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Othaqa ural Islam, the strongest pillar of Islam, love one another for Allah's sake, hate only for Allah's sake, let go of the rancor, let go of the hatred, let go of the jealousy, let go of the enmity. Nafrat, 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 let this come out for Allah's sake. Wallah, Allah will give you a jannat greater than the jannat of a person who makes tahajjud every night and fasts every day. Hazrat Mufti Zain al-Abidin Sahab rahmatullah alayhi described Madina Munawwara, described what was an ummah, like this beautiful example he gave. He said that if in Madina Munawwara there were 1,000 men, there were 1,000 men, and one person's brother passed away, it was as if 999 people's brother passed away. In Madina Munawwara, if there were 1,000 men and one person was facing a financial difficulty, it is as if 999 were facing the same financial difficulty. This is the brotherhood of Islam. This is what Islam teaches us. This is an ummat that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought into existence. Allah give us tawfiq wa afiyah.